The Protestant cross doesn't have Christ on it crucified. He's not on the cross. He's not in the manger. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he ever liveth to make intercession for you. And one day, it may be tonight, it could be today, Jesus is coming back to take us home.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. We are currently airing Pastor Bill's series, A Divided Church, from the New Testament Epistle of 1 Corinthians. And today, Pastor concludes the message, The Resurrection of Christ. Now let's listen in.
You see that door right there? You got a code. If you don't know the code, you can't go through the door. But if when you have a resurrected body, you just walk right through it. Did Jesus eat? Yes. Did Jesus cook after his resurrection? Come on, boys. Got a little fish going here. Come on, a little honeycomb. Come on. Let's eat. Yeah. Listen. Did he have flesh and bone? Yes, he did. Jesus said, I'm not a ghost. Look, I have flesh and bone. Touch me. Hold me. They touched him. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, loved one, he had a glorified, supernatural, unbelievable body. Amen? Yeah, and that's the kind of body we're going to get. But here's the question. Do you think all of those people lied? No. I mean, how about the women? You think the women would lie? They came back to the disciples and said, oh, listen, we came, there was an angel sitting there, and the stone had been rolled away. Did they lie? The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, did they lie? No. How about Peter and Andrew and Philip and John and Simeon and all the Bartholomew, all the rest of them? Do you think they lied? They were all crucified. Do you think that they would die to maintain a lie? You know, there are men who die for a lie, but they believe that the lie that they died for is not a lie but a truth. And then you have those who die because they know that it's not a lie. And it is the truth. You see, Jesus is alive. Jesus is present with us right this moment, isn't he? Amen, loved one. He really, really is. And look what Paul says in verse 8. He says, and then last of all, he was seen by me also. Now remember Paul there on the Damascus Road. He was going to make havoc of the churches. He was locking up women and children and putting them in prison, making them recant the name of Christ. And he says, then I saw him, the last one, as one born out of due time. Literally, that word means like a stillborn abortion, if you will. And the reason? Oh, because I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. And here's why. Because I persecuted the church of God. Remember, he made havoc of the church. But by the grace of God, that unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor, that's what grace is. And the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But look at this now. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Listen, Paul the apostle next to Jesus Christ, in my eyes, the greatest man to ever walk this planet. The most incredible apostle that ever lived. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Listen, Paul says, I've worked harder than all the other apostles. Did you know that Paul not only worked harder than them? Do you know that he traveled more, he suffered more than all of them? Do you know that Paul founded more churches? While the apostles were in Jerusalem debating about the Great Commission, is it to the Gentile too? What was Paul doing? He was founding churches all over. He traveled more, founded more churches than any of the rest of them. Not only that, he wrote, he has written 13 of the epistles in the New Testament. I think he did 14 because I believe he was the author of Hebrews. I mean, did he labor more abundantly? And then Paul says, but you know what? Let me tell you how I did it. I didn't do it. It was God's grace in me that did it. And that's God's grace that's in you, loved one. We're all servants of the Lord. Now look what Paul does. He now moves to what we call the divine ifs, if you will. And he's going to talk about the incredible importance of the resurrection. You see, if there is no resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christianity. Amen? Now look what he does here, beginning in verse 12. He says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some, and again, not everyone there in Corinth, but some, say that there's no resurrection of the dead? And of course, that heresy is still with us today. Now, he says, okay, if the dead's not going to rise, that means Jesus didn't rise because Jesus died. And that means if you don't believe that and that didn't happen, then he didn't rise. And it means he's been dead for 2,000 years. And a dead, so-called crucified Messiah can absolutely help no one at all. It means that Jesus wasn't God in the flesh. He was just simply a man. And not only that, we ought to just treat Jesus today, well, like they do Muhammad, who died where, what was it, Medina? I don't know, 646 or some way back then. And you know what? If you go and study all of that out, his tomb is still there. It's visited by thousands of people every year. But you know what they do? They come to mourn his death. They don't come to celebrate his resurrection. No other religion in all of mankind can say, my Savior, the one who saved me, not only died for me, he was buried for me, he rose again for me, and he is alive. Amen. No other religion on earth, no matter how sincere they are and how much they love one another or love the one they're following. I'm telling you what, Buddha is not alive. I say that with tenderness because I know people are sincere, but they can be sincerely wrong. Muhammad is not alive, loved one. He is dead. There's only one God. There's only one Savior. God cried out in Isaiah, there is no other God. There is no other Savior besides me, saith the Lord. There's no other. And we have the Lord ourselves. Look at verse 13. But if there's no resurrection now, there's that other if. If there's no resurrection of the dead, well, Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, look what Paul says, then our preaching is what? It means, that word means useless. It means without any substance or reality. And not only that, he says, your faith is also empty because your faith is in a man who didn't rise from the dead. Your faith is only in a dead person, and a dead person cannot help anyone, especially a dead Savior. That means there's no good news. That means there's only bad news. It means that without the resurrection, the church is a joke. Are you with me? I'm being honest now. What are we here for? I mean, oh my gosh. You know, we came to church to song. You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you know what we just did? We sang make-believe songs. Do you hear me? Because Jesus did. He didn't rise from the dead. When I entered the pulpit, I prayed to a make-believe God because he's not alive. Do you see how important the resurrection is? Oh, no. Listen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Christianity is nothing more than a sham. And let me say to those that are listening live right now, if you're going to a church that does not believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord Savior, you're in deep trouble because you cannot be saved if you do not believe that. Did you know that? I'll get to that in a moment. Look at verse 15. And yes, look what he says. Paul says, hey, we, meaning everyone, the apostles, we're false witnesses of God. In other words, hello, we're just a bunch of men who lie about Jesus and lie about God. Why? Because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. Here's another if. If, in fact, the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. It's just another fairy tale. It could become another movie classic by Disney. You understand? That's what he's saying. He's saying literally, if that really was true, which is not true, every church in America should shut down. I told the servant leaders yesterday in our meeting, I said, I just read the recent survey that 6 to 10,000 churches close down every year in America. Think about that. They close down and sell the building every year. Well, maybe some of them should close down. You know, I don't know. But I do know this. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we should bolt the doors right now. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, it means that the New Testament is not reliable at all. It means we need to just run. It means that the disciples were liars. It means I'm a liar. And it means if you're a liar as well, because we're telling people that Jesus is alive. He says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. In other words, again, it's just lacking results. It's empty. You're still in your what? Oh, what a horrible thing. It meant if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, his death had no atoning value for the removal of our sins. None at all. What a horrible thing to know that we are left in our sins. Sin, the most wicked thing in all of the world. Man, I say, oh God. Paul says, if that's the case, and Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your salvation is nothing more than a mental thing. That's it. You're not forgiven. You're not justified. You're not sanctified. There is no future glorification at all. He says, and without that, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, sin has won. And not only that, and in verse 18, death has won. There's no hope beyond the grave. In other words, look at it. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have what? They've perished. They died. That means they didn't enter heaven. You know why? Because you can't get into heaven unless you've been justified by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that meant that they were going to perish. Why? Because they stood guilty before the living God. And not only that, look at verse 19. If in this life, that pertains to us today as well. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men, everywhere, all men, the most what? Pitiable. That word is only used twice in the New Testament. It's here and in Revelation 3:17 when Jesus himself says you are wretched and naked and miserable. That's what the word pitiable means. Listen, pitiable describes the condition of a person. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we should all of us start hashtag pitiable. That's what we should be calling ourselves. Do you understand? Why? Because Jesus didn't rise from the dead, man. And this is, of course, being spoken to those who say that there is no resurrection or they don't believe in that. Paul says, if that's the case, guys, you deserve more pity than anyone on earth because it means without Jesus' resurrection, you're not saved. There's no salvation. What does it say? Remember, what did Paul write in Romans 10:9? That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the, you will be saved. There's no salvation. You have to believe in the resurrection of our Lord that God raised him from the dead. It's central to Christianity. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there is no Christianity. There is no salvation. There is no eternal life. All of that is completely gone. We should be pitied. You know why? Because Paul says, you know, guys, life, this is it. As good as it gets. Man, there's nothing here but the grave, and there's no hope after the grave at all. It means that we were wrong, and it means the world was right, that the cross is foolishness. Foolishness. That's what the Greek said. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. No. Listen, how pitiable. Here we are, a group today and back then. Here we are, we've turned away from a world. We said we're not going to love this world. We're not going to love the things of this world because it's passing away only to find out that all that we've renounced is not even true. Think about that. We've taken up our cross to follow Jesus, but it's just not true. We've denied ourselves, but it's just not true. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Not only that, loved one, you know, we are following him, and it would have been all for nothing. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, God, who called himself in Titus 1:2, the God who cannot lie, incapable of lying, has lied to every generation and to all mankind if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That means that Christianity is just worthless. It means, loved one, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it means there is no heaven. It means there is no forerunner. It means we don't have access. It means that Jesus is not preparing a place for us. It meant that John the Baptist, whenever Jesus was coming to be baptized, he didn't really see a dove descending upon our Lord. It means that we're not even born again. It means that there's absolutely no way out of Adam. And in Adam, all die. But thank God, Paul said, but look at verse 20. He says this, but now, I love that part. It says, but now Christ is what? Risen from the dead. That means it's a fact. We know that. And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Listen to me. You know, when we start thinking about Jesus, you know, if Christ did not rise from the dead, it means that his birth means absolutely nothing. It means when we gather here to watch the kids' Christmas play in a couple of weeks or a week, whenever the 17th, whenever it is. It means it's all make-believe. It means that when we sing Silent Night or Away in a Manger or O Holy Night, that's not even real because it didn't happen. All that you have to hold on to, if Jesus is not the Lord, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if Jesus, it means that his birth means nothing, it means all that we're going to have for Christmas is jingle bells. You got it? That's it. You're just going to have a holly jolly Christmas. That's it. Nothing else. Do you follow me? I look at this and I say, oh God, you are so good. Do you know why our cross out there is empty? He's alive. The Protestant cross doesn't have Christ on it crucified. He's not on the cross. He's not in the manger. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he ever liveth to make intercession for you. And one day, it may be tonight, it could be today, Jesus is coming back to take us home. No man knoweth the day or hour, only the Father only. Jesus said, watch, be ready, because you don't know when I'm returning. Listen. Jesus really is coming for you. He is so alive. And you know what? His resurrection power is working in us right now. Right this minute. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, and it does dwell in you, loved one, listen, we have all that we need. But gosh, if you don't know Jesus is Lord, listen carefully if you don't know the Lord. You that are listening live, listen very carefully too. If you don't know, if you're here and you're just, I'm religious, go to church, have a Bible, I'm not saying anyone is here like that, but if that is the case, the word resurrection should terrify you. It should terrify you. Why? Because you're going to be resurrected one day after you die. The Bible says in Acts 17:30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere, no exceptions, to repent. You know why he commands that? He says, because he, God, has appointed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given, listen carefully, assurance of this to all, and it tells us how, by raising Jesus from the dead. Every person that has ever lived will one day be resurrected. God says, the resurrection of my son is the guarantee that every person that has ever been born will be resurrected. That is a frightening thing if you don't know Jesus Christ. It says in Acts 17:32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we better hear this again. See, the reaction to the resurrection is important then, and it's important today. You see, they mocked. They made fun of it. They sneered. Some of them said, I'll talk to you about it later. No, listen. The resurrection is vital to the belief of every person, loved one. It says in Acts 24:15, there will be a resurrection of the dead, the just, meaning those that are in Christ who've believed in him, and the unjust, those that are in Adam, those that are unbelievers. 1,000 years separate those two resurrections, the just and the unjust, but there's no way around it, loved one. There's a resurrection that's coming. Listen, you know, when I look at God, He's so good. He warns us. He warned people. He said, this is what's coming. I'm begging you to get right with me. My son is alive. He died for all the sins of the world. Why would you want to die for your own sins when Jesus has already paid for your sins? Amen? Yeah. You know, Jesus says in His word in John, He said, listen, one day the graves are going to open. They're going to hear My voice. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. When we get over into the end of the Bible, loved one, there's the first resurrection in chapter 20 of Revelation. That is the tribulation saints, those that are that came to Christ during the tribulation period. And after that, there's going to be another resurrection. And that one is going to be a bad one because it's the unsaved of all the ages. Can you imagine being dead there in Hades or wherever that place is the Bible speaks of? Because no one is in hell yet. They're in Hades. Hell is not there. No one's in hell. Read your Bible. They're in Hades, that place of torment, waiting judgment, meaning the great white throne judgment. Can you imagine being pulled out of the torment of Hades and then you receive your resurrected body, but it's not a glorified body, only to stand before Jesus Christ and the books are going to be opened and every person is going to be judged, meaning the unbeliever. We're going to be the believer at the Bema Seat of Christ, a place of rewards, but listen carefully. Even though we are sanctified, set apart and declared holy, and even though we have been justified, just as if we had never sinned and we are in Christ, and in Christ everything has been paid for, we will give an account of the things that we've done in our body, whether good or whether bad. All of us. Every man, every woman. But boy, at the great white throne, there's no second chances. There they are. And that's called the second death. That is where they will be eternally separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. I talked to a person the other day and said, oh, when you die, death is the end. I said, no, sir, it's not. It's not the end. And I looked at him and I said, listen to me. Not only is death not the end, there's no escape. You will stand before the resurrected, risen, ascended King of Kings who died for you, who still loves you, but you don't want Him. You've rejected Him. Jesus said, if you reject Me, I have no choice but to reject you as well. Look back at verse 11 and let me close. Paul says, therefore, whether it is I or they, so we preach, and you believed. I tell you, I have preached now, and I pray if you don't know Christ, I pray that you will believe. I pray that you would never walk away from eternal life and live this life which's about that long. And then it's all over again. Listen to me now. If you don't know Christ, I want you to listen to me very carefully. When a person dies, they either go to heaven or they go to be in that place called Hades, wherever that is. And they're awaiting judgment. The Bible says it's a place of torment. I hate to talk about it, but that's the word of God. But here's the deal. Once a person is there, or let's just go to the great white throne judgment, and then they go into hell. Loved one, listen, did you know there's no remedies for anything in hell? There's no remedy for suffering. There's no remedy for sin. There's no remedy for the darkness. There's no remedy for anything for all eternity. No remedy, no solution, no exits, no appeals, absolutely nothing, nothing at all. But there is a remedy now. There is a remedy today. There's a remedy this minute. And His name is Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, listen, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man, no person comes to the Father except by Me.
Pastor Bill's study continues on our next broadcast, and we do hope you'll join us once again. We want to thank you for spending some of your day with us. We appreciate you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.